This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Deb Fornoff, who runs the Illinois Lifespan Project for the Arc of Illinois. But first, disability news for the week of May 6, 2019. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office of Inspector General said last week it will investigate whether managed care organizations are wrongly denying Medicaid services to people with disabilities. Many states have turned to private insurers to handle their Medicaid services, including those for people with developmental disabilities. Under those arrangements, states pay insurers a set amount of money to administer benefits. In announcing the plan to investigate, the HHS Inspector General said, quote, "The contractual arrangement shifts financial risk for the cost of Medicaid services from the state Medicaid agency and the federal government to the MCO, which can create an incentive to deny beneficiaries access to covered services. Our review will determine whether Medicaid MCOs complied with federal requirements when denying access to requested medical and dental services and drug prescriptions that required prior authorization," end quote. The move comes at the request of Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania. Last month, Casey cited reports suggesting that some managed care companies have wrongly denied needed care. Casey wrote, quote, "It is the duty of MCOs as a steward of taxpayer dollars to spend Medicaid funds responsibly in pursuit of the health of our families. What has been uncovered, however, were actions taken by MCOs focused squarely on delivering profits to wealthy shareholders at the expense of those most in need of medical care," end quote. Specifically, Casey wants the Inspector General to address whether people with disabilities and other groups that weren't traditionally covered by managed care are being adequately served by those companies. And the senator said the investigation should examine if people with disabilities are being denied access to care at higher rates than other Medicaid beneficiaries. What's more, Casey asked the Inspector General to look into whether the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services is adequately providing oversight to ensure that Medicaid beneficiaries are getting the services they need. The HHS Office of Inspector General said in a report detailing its findings, and that is expected sometime next year. The evolution of the disability rights movement is at the heart of a documentary that former President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama are bringing to Netflix. The couple's production company, Higher Ground, said this week that it will bring the film Crip Camp to the streaming service. The feature-length documentary tells the story of a summer camp for teenagers with disabilities in the 1970s near Woodstock, New York, that helped springboard the disability rights movement. Last year, Netflix said that the Obamas had agreed to a multi-year deal to produce films and series for the streaming service. Crip Camp is among the first seven projects to be unveiled as part of that deal. The former president said, quote, "We created Higher Ground to harness the power of storytelling. That's why we couldn't be more excited about these projects, touching on issues of race and class, democracy and civil rights, and much more. We believe each of these productions won't just entertain, but will educate, connect, and inspire us all," end quote. The content is set to be released in the coming years. Republican lawmakers are pushing the U.S. Department of Education to reconsider regulations that transform the transition from school to work for people with disabilities. In a letter to Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos last month, eight GOP members of Congress said that rules established during the Obama administration should be revisited. The regulations clarify how the Federal Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act should be implemented. Under the 200 2014 law, individuals with disabilities age 24 and younger are required to pursue competitive and integrated employment before working at jobs paying less than minimum wage. Individuals with disabilities already working for what's known as sub-minimum wage can continue to do so, but must receive regular career counseling and information about training opportunities. Last year, the Education Department said it planned to amend the regulations. Most recently, a fall agenda indicated that the agency would issue a notice of proposed rulemaking in January, but that never materialized. Now the House lawmakers are urging DeVos to move forward, citing ongoing problems with the implementation of some aspects of the law. In their correspondence, they say that the Obama administration used imprecise criteria to define what qualifies as an integrated setting, which has led some state vocational rehab agencies to stop referring people with disabilities to certain employers rather than making case-by-case determinations. The lawmakers say that the Education Department should rescind its current guidance and issue new rules telling state vocational rehabilitation agencies to conduct case-by-case reviews for jobs to determine whether they should be seen as competitive integrated employment under the workforce law. An Education Department spokesman said the agency, quote, continues to receive input on the department's regulations and guidance and is in the process of responding to the lawmakers' correspondence, end quote. And finally, Paul Sharoon DeForge was always able to remember his loving wife. He died in March of complications from early onset Alzheimer's disease, an illness more than half of people with Down syndrome experience once they hit their 50s or 60s. His wife, Chris Sharoon DeForge, also has Down syndrome, and at 25 years, their families believe she and Paul might have had one of the longest marriages of any couple also living with that condition. When they were born, doctors warned that both of the children would struggle to live full lives and recommended they be put into institutions to help them better function and cope. But both sets of parents ignored the advice, allowing both Chris and Paul to grow up into amazing and functional people who eventually crossed paths and fell in love. Chris's older sister, Susan Sharoon, said, quote, they are role models for everybody who wants a good relationship. They were a team. They deferred to each other and looked out for each other, end quote. The couple was married in 1995 after a five-year engagement, but their journey to the altar was not without challenges. Because they both lived with Down syndrome, the New York couple was required to prove to the state that they were both consenting adults who understood the concept and commitment of marriage. When Paul started exhibiting signs of dementia last year, he was forced to move into a separate residence for intensive nursing care, but Chris continued to visit with him every Sunday. And last year, when she was recovering from pneumonia and in the hospital, Paul surprised her with a special visit for their 25th anniversary. That day, they had their vows renewed at the Chapel Hospital. Chris maintained that no matter how much his Alzheimer's advanced, that Paul never stopped knowing who she was. And that's the news for this week. And you are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today on the phone by my good friend Deb Fornoff, who is the director coordinator of the Illinois Lifespan Project, a resource that everybody who has a family member or who is a person with a disability needs to know about. Welcome to the program, Deb.
Thanks, Vicki. Thanks for having me and for the opportunity to share information about Illinois Lifespan. I appreciate that. I just have to say, what a great story. Oh, my gosh.
I know. Wasn't that a thriller? And, you know, this bit about Alzheimer's and people with Down syndrome, as you know, you and I, both as parents of somebody with Down syndrome, have lots of concerns about So, yeah, but what a great story. Yeah, 25 years, that's a long time.
Fantastic.
So let's talk about lifespan. It's been going for a long time now, hasn't it?
It has. Actually, I believe the year that the lifespan program started was 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the internet was kind of just a baby. You know, people were starting to have websites, you know, service providers, agencies, but they were not at the same level that, you know, we have today, not by a long shot. And, you know, it started as a grant from the Illinois Council on Developmental Disabilities to fill a gap in services. There was any family member who has someone with an intellectual or developmental disability understands how complex the systems of services that you have to kind of navigate throughout the life of your loved one can be. You know, you start with early intervention when you're, you know, babies are, you know, when it's birth to three and you're working on kind of figuring out what this is all about and, you know, how to make life as good as possible. And then, you know, at about 2.5, you start looking at the transition to the school system, and that's a whole new set of rules and, you know, people to know, acronyms to understand, you know, different folks out there to help you. And then, you know, here comes 14 and a half in transition, and you know, you're switching to thinking about transition and what happens after high school or post-secondary education. You know, what's that going to look like for the person that you love? Who do you need to talk to? What do you need to do and plan for? So it's definitely complex. There was definitely a need for someone for people to call when they had questions. It doesn't matter what the question is about. People call us for all different kinds of things. You know, our focus is intellectual and developmental disabilities, services and supports, but we never turn anybody away. If we, you know, we let folks know that that's our area of expertise, but we'll do our best to find resources for, you know, anyone who calls.
And I'm assuming that people don't have to, that's not just phone questions. Can they email their questions as well?
Absolutely. On the homepage of the website, and I'm going to really quick look and make sure that that's true and I'm not just making that up. But at the bottom of that homepage, there is a form to submit if you have a question and want to email that way. You know, folks can email me directly at deb@thearcofill.org if they have questions. You know, we also, besides the phone, we see folks at events, outreach events, resource fairs, transition fairs, that sort of thing. And then our website is available 24/7, so people can look there first and see if there's anything that will help to answer the question that they have.
Where do most of the questions come from? What are the things that people ask about most often? And maybe you can give short answers to some of those so that the listeners can get an idea of what's out there.
Well, I would say, you know, when we started, the first version of our website was really focused on, information about service providers. And, you know, in 2001, DHS didn't even have, you know, the folks who were funded to provide services anywhere on their website. It wasn't available. We had to do a FOIA request to get that information. Things have changed so much since then. They do have service providers listed by service type, and we have direct links to those on our website, so they're easy to get to. But things have changed a lot. I would say, you know, when we remodeled, but that's not quite the right word. But when redid our website a few years ago, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do was really not duplicate information that was available in other places, but get people there. Mm-hmm. And the places that people call most about are those things that they can find on their county resource page on the Illinois Lifespan website. They're like, when you go to the Illinois Lifespan homepage, you can search by county or search statewide. If you go to the county search, that's the county choice on the drop-down menu, and choose your county, you're going to find the Center for Independent Living that serves your area, the Child and Family Connections Office, you know, your entry point for early intervention, the link to DHS, DRS, find your office function, Equip for Equality, the Illinois Guardianship and Advocacy Commission and Human Rights Authority, the Independent Service Coordination Agency, and they're probably the folks that we direct people to most often. People call us, they've heard about PUNS, they're not sure what PUNS is all about or if it's anything that they, you know, need to act on. So the ISC for each county is listed there, the Parent Training and Information Center that serves that county, and then any support organizations, support groups, or local organizations that we're aware of. So there's a good amount of information there, but it's not hopefully overwhelming.
Right.
But those are the folks that people ask about the most.
So do people, do new organizations that start up, are they encouraged or do they call you and say, hey, you need to, we just started this parent support group, can we get you our name on your and our contact information on the Lifespan website? Is that the way it works, or do you kind of just stumble upon these groups?
You know, it's a little bit of both. It would be great if we, you know, heard from people directly a little more often, but a lot of times when we're at outreach events in different places, you know, that's the kind of information that we're gathering while we're there, you know, talking to folks and answering questions. You know, we're finding out about new programs and groups and services. So it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, and I noticed that when you were going over that list of organizations, that mm-hmm. a lot of them, you know, were locally focused, but a lot of them were also state focused as well, you know, the Equip for Equality and, you know, that kind of thing are all, they serve the entire state. So that's important as well.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, the big thing about that is that, you know, people don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they call us, a lot of times they, you know, they have an end goal in mind. They're looking for information, you know, to accomplish something, but aren't sure where to get that. So, you know, this just ended up being the group of folks that, you know, we talk with people about the most. They definitely serve this population. And then in our statewide search, there are all kinds of services divided by broad general categories, things like advocacy organizations, philanthropic organizations, legal services.
Mm-hmm.
I said that already. And the services, service providers funded through Illinois DHS CDD, special education resources. So those, again, are resources that are focused on services in the state of Illinois but are a little bit broader.
And so, you know, there are a lot of folks that I've talked to over the years who will say, you know, I'm so new to this. You know, my kid is graduating from high school and going into adult services, and I don't even know what questions to ask.
And that is totally fine. That's exactly what we do when folks call us. I would say probably pretty much daily we get calls from folks who say, you know, I have a child with a developmental disability. You know, I've heard about PONS. I'm not sure what that's all about. I'm not sure who to call or why. And we will start from the beginning and talk about, you know, what PONS is all about, who acts as the doorway to that program, and how you get in touch with them. You know, we routinely send them links to additional information about PONS. You know, sometimes over the phone especially, it's really difficult to kind of take in everything and remember all of that. So we like to follow up with an email message most of the time, and make sure that people have something to refer back to. And they also know, once they've spoken with us, that they're welcome to call back anytime. You know, it's easy to lose something in an email, or, you know, you write it down on a piece of paper and you're not sure where it went, or, you know, how this connected to that. So, you know, we hope we make people feel very comfortable about connecting with us. And, you know, one of the things I definitely want to mention is that, you know, the folks that work with me at the Illinois Lifespan Program are all parents, and also have lots of years of experience and advocacy in the disability world. So these are folks who understand firsthand, you know, what they're sharing with you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so important. You know, those folks have a lifetime of experience and knowledge. So, you know, and we've talked for years in Illinois about having that single point of entry into the system, especially for those families whose kids are graduating from high school, where there is a, you know, essentially an entitlement. Their kids are served, you know, for that period of time until their 22nd birthday, and then they're turned loose into mm-hmm. the world of adult services. And some parents know that it's confusing and complicated, and others have no clue and don't even know that there really is not much in the way of entitlement for their adult children. So strongly recommend that Lifespan might be the way to go. Is it better, do you have a website URL, or is it better just to Google Illinois Lifespan?
It's www.illinoislifespan.org.
Okay, well, that's easy enough.
You know, it's also connected with the Arc of Illinois website.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the other things, if it's okay to talk about that, is that we have, over the last couple of years, started a monthly webinar program, and that's been really helpful and successful. Lots of folks are really happy to have that. It's the second Tuesday of the month from noon to 1, and we've tried to do a variety of topics over the course of these last couple of years, things like unique residential options to guardianship with Equip for Equality, Special Olympics and Special Recreation. Our May webinar is May 14th, and it will feature Juan Aponte from Community Alternatives Unlimited. That's one of the independent service coordination agencies that serves the Chicago area, and he'll be talking about PONS in the ISC mm-hmm. And the role that they have. And then in June, we have Jean Seaman, who is with the Human Rights Authority of the Illinois Guardianship and Advocacy Commission, and he'll be talking about the work that the Human Rights Authority does.
That's great.
And then, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You have another one in...
I was just going to say July is the Family Support Network and the Liggett Family Advocate Program of the Arc of Illinois, our sister agencies, or sister programs, I should mm-hmm. say. We'll be talking about home and community-based services. So we're really excited about that, too.
Yeah, so if people want to get registered for those webinars, those happen the second Tuesday of the month, and I'm sure you've got that information on the Lifespan website as well, right?
Yes, we have a calendar of events and the monthly webinars. To sign up for those monthly webinars, they're free. I do have to mention that there are no CEUs for the webinars. These are designed with family members in mind.
And CEU, for those who don't know, is
yes.
What?
Continuing Education Unit.
So for teachers or professionals,
yes.
Right? Yes.
Professionals need them a lot of times. But if they go to the ARC of Illinois website under events, upcoming events, they can sign up for any of the webinars there.
Awesome. And encourage folks to go to any of the events that the Lifespan Project or the ARC of Illinois has. We've featured a number of programs over the years and will continue to do so. What have we missed, Deb? What did you want to talk about that we haven't talked about yet?
You know, there are more things on the Lifespan website. I would say, you know, if you have a few minutes, just take some time and explore a little bit. We do have a statewide calendar of events, so if folks out there, you know, support groups, parent groups, other organizations are putting on trainings that they'd like to have the people statewide know about, we're happy to add those. You know, we have an advocacy toolbox. It's kind of a little advocacy jumpstart on a number of topics. Really short, really to the point, not comprehensive, but it is a little bit of a jump start on, you know, gathering some information. So, you know, take a look and spend some time there. The one thing I do want to mention is, you know, the ARC of Illinois, one of the things that is really important to the Lifespan program is that we have so many wonderful, you know, sister programs that we work with as well. Like, for example, the Family to Family Health Information Center that's there to help families of children with any kind of special health care need. It doesn't have to be an intellectual or developmental disability, but they're there to provide information and assistance for those folks and can help with things like insurance and Medicaid issues for those families. The Lucas Family Advocate Program, the Family Support Network are there as well to work with families who are in need of more, maybe more in-depth advocacy issues. The Ligas Family Advocates help folks understand their options when they're selected for funding and or are anticipating being selected. You mentioned the Consumer Stipend Program for attending trainings. And those don't have to be ARC trainings, but that's another program that the ARC administers.
And not to leave out the technology program where people,
you know,
there's so much. There is so much, but we're running out of time, Deb. One more time, give me the website, and also if you would share your telephone number so that people can call for more information.
Absolutely. The website is www.illinoislifespan.org, and our telephone number is 1-800-588-7002.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Deb Fornoff of the Illinois Lifespan Project. And I will look forward
to
hearing from you again.
All right. Thank you so much.
Sure. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. And for updates and information, you can join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email me at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week.
No, I'll stand my ground. Won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby,
And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Let's do the art theater listing for this week before we move on to